You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're heading into the last half hour of our show. And I've been... you know what I'm trying not to be nervous about? Our mosquito bites this summer.
Oh.
I know. Like, gross. West Nile disease, we always thought of, like, we kind of hear, oh, first case of West Nile disease, and you worry about that in the back of your mind, and then it just kind of goes away, you know? I mean, you just don't worry about it as much because it seems to be so far and few between. You know that it could have devastating effects. But this year, the Zika virus is making people panicked, and they're, you know, they are letting people know that there is a possibility, Esmeralda, in the state of Illinois. That in Illinois, there are 23 confirmed Zika cases, some of which are in Chicago. I didn't know that. It seems like whenever there's West Nile disease, we find out right away, don't we?
Right. I didn't know that there was that many Zika virus cases. Mm-hmm. Like, they got bit here?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they got bit here. So there are different. There no cases of transmission by mosquitoes have been reported in the continental USA.
Okay, good.
The two international airports, the potential of Zika-carrying mosquito surviving in the area and unknown about the virus has the city getting ready. So whether or not they are people who have come from other areas, it doesn't say in this report then how was it transmitted. The Zika virus can be transmitted through blood transfusion and obviously through mosquito bites. But they say that the risk is low in Chicago because the mosquito spreads its bites between humans and animals. But it can also be passed through saliva.
Oh, yeah. So don't make out with those mosquitoes?
No making out with mosquitoes.
I've been fairly lucky. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, in the city, don't really get bug bites.
You don't get bitten a lot?
Not really. But when I do, it's nasty.
Oh, I know. And you know what the thing is? I can't stop scratching.
Yep.
I just keep going at it. Like, it wouldn't last as long if I would just leave it alone.
Right, but you can't. No. I actually have some stuff that I got 20 million years ago when I was working with Johnny B. He had on a guy who had invented this stuff that was for bug bites and poison ivy. And it was kind of nice because it has like chestnuts, like apricots or walnut
right.
stuff
like
in
oil
it.
In it?
No, like the crunchy bits.
Oh,
that's so then
weird.
When you put it on, you're scratching and healing simultaneously. Because you're supposed to rub
so you're
it in
soothing,
for a bit.
You're itching the scratch.
Yeah.
But you're also. I'm going to, speaking of a scratch, I'm going to transition. Susie, I swear that's a transition. Scratching an itch, which is dating. How's that for transition?
Very good.
We have on the line with us dating coach Susie Parkis, and I thank you so much. I know that it's a weird time transition, so thank you for your patience as we make the smooth move over to talking to you about dating. What time is it? I know people do this all the time when they talk to you. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Is it like 8:40? For you?
Oh no, it's 20 to 8 in the morning.
20 to 8 in the morning. Okay, so I was close.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what
yeah,
you do.
You were just an hour later.
I was close. What? Tell us a little bit about the idea that you can help someone spot heartbreak.
The idea behind it.
Yeah, I mean, because Esmeralda and I were talking about that. Like, if you could tell, if you were being alert and paying attention to the warning signs, would you want to? Is kind of part of it too. What's the idea behind being, I guess, present in a relationship?
Okay, well, coming back to your first point, you know, there are patterns that one can spot, basically. So there are certain types of people in relationships who deploy certain characteristics. So once you're familiar with those characteristics, and obviously there isn't a one-size-fits-all, you can start thinking, you know, I know that characteristic is related to someone who, you know, maybe would cheat, is non-committal or what have you. So that's what it's about. No one is Mystic Meg, and I'm certainly not myself, but there are these characteristics that you can notice.
And so some of the characteristics, because like I'm guessing that we each have the things that are red flags for everybody. Are there are there general red flags that everyone should pay attention to?
Yes, of course there are. Would you like me to go through some?
Yes, please. Let me know. What are some of the red flags that you should know about and you know, protect yourself in a relationship?
Okay, so if you're someone who's looking to meet someone for a serious relationship and he or she says, I'm not looking for a relationship, what happens is that person has actually said to you, you know, I'm not on the same page as you. So therefore, it's up to you to say, that's fine. You know, I'm happy to do something casual, or I'm not into casual, thanks, all the same. But what often happens is we go, they're not looking for relationships, but I like them, and I might be the one to change their mind. So what happens is the person entering into a relationship, you haven't really listened. And then when it goes wrong, you blame the other person. So it's kind of, that's where both of you are at fault. You know, one's speaking and you're not listening, and you're trying to turn the situation around to your advantage. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, and this is, yeah, that sounds a lot about like taking responsibility too when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So actually, you know, before I move on to the other point, the biggest point to tell you is that listening is so important when you meet somebody. You know, even if someone is being dishonest with their intentions, if you really, really listen to the conversation they're having with you and the things they're saying and the way they're phrasing it, that gives so much away about their intentions and they don't realize.
Right.
So just listening actually is really, really important. If someone's blowing hot and cold with you, it's a sure sign that they're not really that into you. And a myriad of things could be going on. There's potentially a relationship going on and you're some fun on the side. They're speaking to lots of other people and therefore you're not a priority. Or, you know, it might be that they're just so committed and focused to their work and therefore you're not a priority. But either way, if they're blowing hot and cold and, you know, this relationship or the nature of the growth of this relationship isn't getting warmer and warmer and more exciting, you kind of need to ask yourself what's going on here, because otherwise you're just swinging like a pendulum and the other person is in the driving seat and it's not really fair. And that's when you start to sort of question yourself and go mad, thinking, what am I doing wrong here? You know, why are they hot and cold all the time? And the other thing is committing. So it kind of comes back to hot and cold. When someone's not committing to making plans with you, so it's, you go something like you might have had a date with somebody and you've had a good time and then you're kind of waiting for them to go, I had a really nice time, it'd be nice to see you again, or, you know, I'd love to see you again, when can I see you? And that's not forthcoming and you're waiting and waiting and waiting for them to, like, see you again. And again, they're in the driving seat and they're just not driving that momentum forward for you. Then you also need to wonder how committed is this person to getting to know me, wanting to be in a relationship with me and, you know, just getting involved. Like, why aren't they kind of taking the next step? So that is a warning sign as well, because generally speaking, when someone's interested, they know that you're hot property and you're probably speaking to other people too, and they want to lock you down. And what that means is you want to lock out the competition and be like, you know, even during the date, they had a really, really nice time with you. I know it's premature, we haven't finished yet, but it'd be really, really lovely to see you again. Makes the other person feel like, oh, they, you know, they really like me. And it shows you that they're interested too. But if they're just, you know, being a bit nonchalant about it, you have to think, you know, they're hedging their bets here. What's going on? Why aren't they creating that momentum?
Well, when you mention hedging your bets, I have to imagine that the effect of social media has been profound on, you know, serial dating, or as you mentioned, you know, they're keeping their options open.
Oh, there's lots of it. You know, I'm on a lot of dating apps because I speak to apps and websites a lot, you know, for my business, and it's important for me to know what's going on. And it's surprising how many people I see across the website and the app. People are spreading themselves so thinly. And, I mean, that's potentially another conversation. But if you as someone who's on the lookout for somebody and you see the same face across several apps, you're also going to be very, very cautious about that person and step very gingerly, because you don't know how many people they're speaking to across all the several apps because they've been hedging their bets. And, of course, social media makes it very incestuous as well, because there's lots of single groups on Facebook and there are people poking each other because they like the look of them. People are on the lookout nonstop. And I think the problem is people are struggling to focus on one person at a time, because you really can be a kid in a candy store now.
Exactly. I don't envy people who are trying to have a relationship now. And I'm sure every generation has some different thing that gives them the sort of the whims. You know, they get a little bit I can't wrap my mind around. I've known women who will not just start a relationship with someone through social media, but then like track what they do on social media, like on Facebook, and make themselves upset. I mean, you're talking about, you know, warning signs and things like that. How often do we kind of create the drama that, you know, perhaps gets in the way of having a healthy relationship?
Oh, very often. People are frightened of being hurt. I think now more than ever, you know, it's, sadly, divorce is on the up and cheating is on the up and people are very curious these days. You know, I know a friend of mine, we were out late one day and a married woman was messaging him and, you know, like 3 a.m, and she should have been in bed with her husband, but she was bored or whatever was going on, I don't know, and she was messaging him. And people are just very, very curious, and you know, people do, I think, create problems for themselves because they're not remaining focused on what it is that they want or where it is that they're at. You know, if they're in a relationship, they're not remaining focused.
Yeah, that's got to be so many hard things involved in dating these days. And you mentioned, you know, listening. So that obviously it's an important component of communication. But, you know, if you feel like someone's running hot and cold, as you were talking about before, what's the best approach? I mean, ultimatums seem to obviously drive people away. Would you say that's correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, you know, if you're asking me on behalf of the man or the woman as well, because I'm really into, you know, holding your space as a woman or as a man. So generally it's a woman that gets frustrated with the guy playing hot and cold. Sorry to generalize, but that is, you know, the general consensus. And if a woman kind of, you know, digs her heels in and starts saying, hey, you know, I really enjoyed spending time with you the last however many weeks or months or whatever, and I just, you know, would like to know what's going on, you're trying to take control and now you're becoming an alpha female. You have to be really, really careful when you're trying to seek clarity from somebody, the way you go about it, because if it's done in a way where you want to regain control or find some level of control in a relationship, then actually you're starting to step into the male space.
Right.
And guys don't like that.
No, that so it's a
you know, it's really hard.
Right. So they feel threatened by that sort of action.
Yeah, guys don't want to be locked down. They want to lock you down. So, you know, unless you're trying to create a dynamic where you're the alpha female and he's the beta male, then that's completely different. And some of those relationships do exist. However, the people that romanticize and watch TV and movies, they're looking for, you know, the soft feminine female and she wants her alpha male. So you have to engineer a situation rather than be direct with your guy and be like, what's going on here, because you're trying to lock him down and he's not going to be happy with that. A guy doesn't want to contest with an alpha female. It will just turn him off. He'll start seeing you as a friend. It will take you out of that space where, you know, he's kind of looking at you as a partner now, because, you know, he's feeding that male energy within you, and that's not what attracts guys. It's what turns them off.
Well, and you mentioned sort of the romanticized version we have of relationships. Does that, you know, intensify the heartbreak when things don't work out, if your expectations don't meet the reality?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. Yeah. You know, somebody's, you know, watched a movie and I'm trying to think of a classic example. But, you know, someone's watched a movie and they go, that's the guy. I want a guy like that lead.
Right.
Then you're setting yourself up for failure, because the guy that you're meeting, you know, wherever you meet him, you can't ask him to be a carbon copy of something that you've seen in a movie. I mean, that's completely engineered. When it's real life, you're talking about feelings, you're talking about circumstances beyond your control, and you have to ride the rough with the smooth. So if you are one of these people that lives in fantasy land, that's absolutely fine. But you just need to manage your own expectations, as you said. And you need to put across in your conversation with someone when you're getting to know them, especially at the outset, what your values are, what you're looking for in a partner. And then it's up to the other person on the receiving end to say, well, I can meet those expectations, or I'm not that person. I'm not for you.
But that's got to be so hard for so many people who really get their hopes up in a certain situation. How can you suggest someone, you know, when things implode, how does someone move past that heartbreak and, you know, continue with their finding someone, the next person?
Come and see me. I'm very well known for taking people from heartbreak to happiness. But, you know, if you haven't got a coach or you're not inclined to see somebody, then, you know, acknowledging is a huge, huge part in moving forward. So acknowledging where maybe you weren't listening, where, you know, the guy maybe said to you he wasn't available and you thought he was, or, you know, like you said, you know, putting across onto somebody else the things that you want in a relationship and then making them wrong for not showing up in that way. So reflection and acknowledging is really, really important to reduce the heartbreak. Otherwise, you know, you end up just playing the scenario round and round and round in your head, and it's like a non-stop record, and it just takes you in a downward spiral.
Yeah, that's and I've seen people go through that, and they seem to have a really tough time trusting again, when in some ways they kind of set themselves up, not set themselves up, but there's a mismatch in what they wanted, what was possible, and where they are, and that's just kind of the thing that people have to struggle with, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, as dating coaches, my colleagues and I, this is what we do. We take people through a process now of, you know, saying, you know, what are your values? What are you looking for? What's realistic? Why do you want that characteristic in a person? You know, and I must tell you that the common thing when people are looking for a characteristic in someone outside of themselves is because they want that characteristic within themselves. So we take them through this whole psychological journey because that's where we're at these days, unfortunately. You know, I remember when I was dating, you know, in my teens and my early 20s, it was so easy. You just pick up a vibe from somebody and you'd enjoy being in their company, and things would either go somewhere or they wouldn't.
Right.
Now it's this whole psychological game, and, you know, I don't like to use the word game, but there is a lot of, you know, playing with the chessboard and saying, does this feel good for me? Why doesn't this feel good for me? Analysing your dating journey and thinking, you know, okay, so it didn't work out with my last partner, but what was it about them that did?
Right.
And those are characteristics I'd like to find in somebody else. And you really need to think about this more than just, oh, you look really hot, you know, I'm going to try having a relationship with you. It's, you know, if you want lasting love, it's so much more than that.
That's great. I think that's all great to hear. And I think a lot of people would appreciate more information about the kind of work that you do. I know that, you know, do you do a lot of coaching online with meetyourmatch.club?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's great timing, you know. I'm launching a dating course that can be accessed from anywhere in the world. So I've got that coming out in the next couple of weeks. And of course, thanks to technology, you know, as today, I coach people all over the world. People reach me from wherever, and, you know, we can email, we can Skype, we can Zoom. Thanks to technology, people can access me from anywhere.
Well, find Susie Parkus. If you're having trouble, if you're struggling, I think perspective can help a lot of people. So that's Susie Parkus. It's SUZIEPARKUS, and that's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Susie, thank you so much for your insight and your time in particular.